There's the windup, there's the pitch, and... That was not the crack of the bat, unless God was at the plate. It was a lightning strike during the Texas Rangers-Minnesota Twins game on Sunday. You have never seen players run so fast off the field. Luckily, no one hurt. Texas went on to win on the final day of play before the All-Star game in Kansas City tonight. So here we are at the midpoint of the Major League Baseball season. So where are we? Joel Sherman of the New York Post joins us. Joel, our engineer Doug, will cut off my mic if we don't start by saying, how about those first place 11 games over 500 Pittsburgh Pirates, led by All-Star center fielder Andrew McCutchen?
Well, it's a good story, but let's remember that at about this time last year, they were in it. Clearly, they're a grade better than last year. Andrew McCutchen is in contention for the MVP. He's matured from a very good to a great player. And they have a little more depth, both on their 25-man roster, but more importantly, in their minor league system. We're in July. It's the trade market between now and July 31st. I think the Pittsburgh Pirates, for the first time, are going to be in play to try to get better, not try to unload heavy salaries.
Okay, well, look at the National League East and the Washington Nationals. They have this 19-year-old rookie sensation, Bryce Harper, and they top the league.
You know, everyone's talking Bryce Harper, and he's a great story. Obviously, him and Mike Trout of the Angels, they're the leaders for Rookie of the Year. They brought some energy to the whole sport. One of the big stories of the second half is Steven Strasburg, their best starting pitcher. They promised to cap him at about 160 innings, which means mid-August. They cut him off. We're going to see if they really hold to that with their first chance to make the playoffs in about three decades.
Okay, so those are some of the good stories of the season. Let's look at the disappointment, shall we? And let's start with the Philadelphia Phillies. What happened there?
In New York, we keep an eye on the Yankees all the time as they get older, and the model is the 1965 Yankees. Pretty much for four decades, from the early 20s to the mid-1960s, the Yankees were the best team in baseball, and all of a sudden, at one time, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, Elston Howard, Whitey Ford, they all got old or injured at the same time, and pretty much the whole thing happened. Same thing is happening with the Phillies. Ryan Howard and Chase Utley, and they didn't begin playing this year until about a week, 10 days ago. Roy Halladay, as good as their starting pitching is, they miss him. And look, they've spent a lot of money, they've used a lot of prospects, and there's not a lot of young players around to make things get better. They're in last place, and they might become sellers for the first time in a long time this month.
Okay, well, misery loves company, so let's bring in the Red Sox, shall we? This has just been a sad season.
It can't be ignored what happened last September. That collapse unearthed a lot of problems behind the scenes. They brought in a polarizing figure in Bobby Valentine, who's a very good manager, but a real lightning rod who not everybody likes. And so they have injuries and pathologies up and down. But before anyone buries them, they do have a little Friday the 13th, I think, in them. They have a lot of good players. Specifically, they have Jacoby Ellsbury coming back. I think the first 20 days after the break is a big, big deal for the Boston Red Sox.
Okay. I like that. Pathologies. They have pathologies. Okay, bit of a roundup here. The Chicago White Sox, Cleveland Indians, and Detroit Tigers all trying to take the American League Central Division in the East. The Yankees, you mentioned, lead the division by seven games. In the National League West, you got the LA Dodgers, San Francisco Giants fighting for first place over in the American League West. The Angels, they're trying to kick the Texas Rangers out of first place. But this year, for the first time, there's an extra wild card team, two from each league. And so the two top wild card teams from each league will meet in a one-game playoff to see who advances. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a bit of fool's gold because I think that fans, because they haven't seen it yet, aren't ready. They're going to cheer like heck for their team. And then one of those two teams is going to be eliminated one game into the playoffs. So you're going to put 162 games of passion. Teams might trade for players and give up prospects. Well, it's a one-game knockout, essentially a 163rd game between two wildcard teams. One of them is going to advance to a traditional division series. The other one, it's going to feel very anticlimactic, I think, because it's going to be like, wow, we just played nine innings and the playoffs are over?
Well, here's what it means to me as a Red Sox fan. Our team might have a chance at something.
Because you know, I wouldn't give up on the Red Sox.
Yeah.
If Josh Beckett and John Lester, they have to pitch like number one and two starters. If they do, the Red Sox are going to be a big factor in the second half of this season.
I like the way you think. Joel Sherman covers baseball for the New York Post. Joel, thanks so much.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
Okay, just ahead. Are pro ball players, including professional football players, prepared for retirement? Our next guest says no. 30 seconds.